I'm Melissa Idris, and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I am so delighted to introduce you to my guest tonight, documentary and sports photographer Anna Slim. She is the co-founder of Women Photographers Malaysia, which is a collective that aims to develop an inclusive culture through visual storytelling. She's also the recipient of the Southeast Asia Women of the Future Award, and she's been listed in Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia for her advocacy in bridging the gender equality gap. Anis, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to have you on. I've been waiting a really long time to talk to you, and I'm so glad that I have the opportunity now that Tokyo 2020 is over and that you've got some time on your hands. You're recovering from that that whole adventure. Welcome to the show. It's really good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
Okay. So you've been on a few adventures, and I want to talk to you about that throughout the show. But let's start from the beginning, from where you started your journey as a photographer. I'm quite curious to know how you discovered a love for photography and when you decided that this is what you wanted to do, this is how you wanted to make a living as a photographer.
Thanks for the question, and thanks for having me as well. I think I started photography in the midst of my architecture studies. So during I actually majored in architecture technology. So during architecture, we have to basically be our own COE, which is called chief of everything. We have to be good in sketches. We have to solve the problems, right? And we have to basically be good, be charismatic as well, because by the end of the day, you have to pitch to your lecturers. So in midst of that, I found out about photography because we have to somehow capture, go to sites, photograph. And I was an introvert back then, so I feel like photography has its way of actually connect with people. So that's where I decided to venture into photography. And photography actually can unite people through a photograph and spark conversations. And I like making people feeling special. And if I have a leeway to actually get to someone to talk about their life story and to illustrate in photographs. So I think, yeah, that was a good trade-off.
I quite like that you said, you know, you're an introvert, but yet you found a way to connect to people through photography. Because, you know, I would assume that photography is quite a, quite solo work. You're alone, you're behind the camera. But what is that connection? When you're thinking about connection with other people, do you often talk to the subjects that you're photographing, or do you make a connection before you capture the photograph, or is it after? When is that connection made?
I think ethically, I would say the connection was made prior, before. And, you know, as photographer, with all due respect, different genres have their different approach for all the well-respected photographers out there. And for me, it's always that I wanted to approach in a way of like making my subject feel like they are understood. They have been seen, they have been heard, and they have been like fully understood and acknowledged. I think that's what people like to do. They like to feel like their stories have been heard, or they themselves being mattered. So for me, it's always every time when there's a shoot or when there's an engagement, I would like to know that how can I learn from this person after photographing?
Okay, and you do sports photography, right? Which is different from the other types of photography, portraiture, fashion, editorial, photojournalism. Sports photography is slightly different. So tell us about sports photography. What is needed and why is it different from the other types of photography?
So I think in general, Melissa, I do dip my toes in other genre photography. So it's like not my bread and butter. It's not solely from sports photography, because I think that would be pretty much self-explanatory during this pandemic that there's no sports. So I think the sports one really stood out, because like what you say, it's like one in a million. Not many people are doing it. So And when it comes to sports photography, it revolves a lot of things in terms of portraiture, athletes portraiture. So that being said, I do portraiture photographies. So sports in particular, how I got into it, because I myself as a, I was a national figure skater as well. So I've, yeah, and I realized that as athletes ourselves, you know, oftentimes when we are on the podium, only we feel like we are matter, and only when the media kind of like take photos of us and everything below the podium or before the podium doesn't matter. So I think when my transition as a former figure skater to a photographer, I did make myself a promise that, you know, perhaps I should look it as for, or I should shoot it as a former athlete and from the behind the scenes perspective. Yeah.
And does that help you? I mean, you know, because you have, you've been a skater before, you know, does that help you when in knowing how to shoot, say, figure skating, knowing when the turns are, knowing the athleticism that goes into the sport? Does that help you as a photographer?
I think that comes with a perks, because I remember when I first started out, I may not well have the right equipment or the right camera with the right shutter speed or frame per seconds to actually go well with it, or even the right telephoto lens. Yeah, so I think what I gather is from, I shoot it from my heart, I shoot it from my, I think my gut feeling as well. When figure skater, they turn their back, they start checking, and I was like, okay, this is where I know that I can actually get a good shot from here, or even to study the stadium floor plan to actually point out where is a good photo position to actually capture and to get your shot.
That's amazing. And because of that, because of your kind of meticulous thoughtfulness about that shot, you were the first female Malaysian photographer to be accredited for the 2018 Olympic Winter Games, right? Tell us about that experience. That must have been amazing to go there.
Yeah, it was, but it was really special, because I think surprisingly to me and to my fellow peers, that nobody is aware that there's a Winter Olympic, and everybody, you know, over the years, everybody look forward to the every 4 years, like from Beijing to London to Rio to
the Summer Games, right? Everyone just focuses on the Summer Games, but not the Winter Games.
And I didn't know that in between that 2 years is where they slot in the Winter Games. So I think coming from where Malaysia is, which is situated on an equatorial equatorial climate, that we are a tropical country. So pursuing, I think our familiarity or recognition of Winter Games is not up to par yet. So it was, for me, I would say that it means a lot to me, because I think as a figure skater, I personally look up to so many legends, or when I was competing, I'm looking up to them and actually see some of them and make their final debut at Pyeongchang 2018 means the world.
Wow, that's amazing. And I also read, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read that when you were there, that was when you realized, you know, that you were kind of standing in a sea of men, that you were clearly in a male-dominated arena of photographers. Sports photography seems to be dominated by men. And I read somewhere that that was a turning point for you. And I was wondering whether you could tell us a little bit more about that experience. What was that moment where it kind of just clicked for you and you realized, wow, this is something needs to change with the lack of female sports photographers?
I think when it's after that, I think I did felt that. I only see, like, I feel like women sports photographer, they are like butterflies. So when I was at a stadium, I think I only saw like every 2-3 days, I only saw like, oh, there's a female photographer there during Pyeongchang 2018. I think what's the turning point when I come back, and then one of the photo media officer, he was like, oh, I'm delighted to share that this is our data that we collected from the accredited photographers and journalists. So I think holistically, if I'm not mistaken, to fact check or anything, there was a 1,000 quota for accredited photographers. So overall, 744 photographers around the world showed up. So in that 744 accredited photographers for Pyeongchang 2018, only 77 are female. So it's me and 76. So that's like about 13% of that. Yeah.
That's not a lot at all. That's such a disparity. Wow. Okay. All right. So you clearly saw that. And then that's why you started the Malaysian Photographers Malaysia. Was that one of the reasons why you said, you know, I'm going to come home and maybe make a difference in my home?
I think you're pretty spot on for that. In 2018, it's like, yeah, in 2018, it's like, maybe I'll come back and do something. But I think there's no time as good as any. So I wanted to start in 2018. But I think back then, I would realize that I'm just a peanut amongst the sea. So I did not, it was at the back of my mind, because I think I would honestly share with you, up till last year at the peak of the pandemic, I only have 8 female photographer friends that I can actually count on both of my hands, like 8. So I think I realized the privilege I have, which I am affiliated to one of the primarily imaging brand, which is Canon Malaysia ambassador. So I started to reach out to other primarily imaging brand ambassador, like check on their competitive brands, whether they have female ambassador. And I surely found out that yes, there is. So I met them up, just like sliding into their DMs and just like, hi, I want to be a friend. I don't have much female photographer friends. I would actually like to be a friend. And that's where we sparked the conversation that we are our respective primarily imaging brand ambassadors. Then we're like, oh, maybe perhaps there's something we can do with it. So I think ultimately, Women's Photographer in Malaysia, currently I would say that I have more than 30 to 50 acquaintance and friends who are female photographers after the establishment of Women's Photographer in Malaysia, which we are actually really proud of, because I think we launched our Instagram, so we use everything, like we're trying to be as, I think with the pandemic, we're trying to get on any platform which is economical friendly or doesn't cost us at all, to like just to give ourselves a head start. So we started an Instagram page, and from there on it was 1st of April, and we just did not know that 1st of April, fast forward, I think the Forbes 30 Under 30 came out on 20th of April, is where I didn't know that Women's Photographer in Malaysia within 1 year could get onto Forbes. So I don't, yeah, so I would always be grateful that I don't think it's me that got onto Forbes 30 Under 30, but it's more like I am the representation, or some of the guys were mentioned that, oh, you're the MVP for WPM, which is most valuable player or something. Yeah.
Tell us, I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. Exciting, but difficult. So tell us a little bit about your adventure in Tokyo.
I think my adventure in Tokyo started as basically just Insta story and show my friends and my peers that this is what happened. And I think when it comes to the day after opening ceremony, I would say that I'm very grateful to all of you out there, that a large group of following. I can see how my social media grew for that. And from there on, I made a conscious decision to turn off the notification, because I think, yeah, I think we can have fun while working, but I think ultimately we have to be professional about it. So what is different from this Olympic, this experience, is what I garner and what I get is you have to be, it is a very, I think one thing I for sure I know is very physically and mentally challenging, and both physically and mentally demanding. So I think from there on, you have to quickly recognize and also have to be disciplined about everything.
So what was your brief? I mean, you were there covering officially for Malaysia the Olympics, or were you there on a commission basis? What was the brief to cover, and which sports and which athletes did you need to kind of follow?
So my brief in general is to cover Malaysian athlete overall, but not every Malaysian athlete, because you can't be in two places at once. So they do delegate some works between me and my fellow respected colleagues. So for me, I had some private commissions as well as covering for basically for the nations. So I think I first tackle it with like the private commissions. So I think I had a wonderful opportunity working with Prestige Malaysia, where we have 8 athletes to cover, and we have a deadline, which is on the 28th. So it's like 5 days after opening ceremony. So by then, I have to make sure that all of them gets equal coverage. So I think the challenging part was to go to venue to venue, especially at this pandemic, and we have to have spit PCR tests every single day. So I think that was a lot. That was very challenging, and we have.
What was it like? Because the Olympics, I mean, I was watching and it was empty, right? So this isn't like the other Olympics where it's stadium full of fans and people cheering. It's empty, and as photographers, you get the front line seat, but in an empty stadium. What was that like?
I think more or less, I would feel like it does affect the athlete's performance because it's really all down. It was just quiet, and then it was really down to them and all their hard work determined at that moment. So I think not usually when the athlete managed to succeed, they will look over the crowd, but this time it's just the beautiful moments you can see that they actually first thing they will look to their coaches and whoever is there for them. So I think it was nice to actually just know that we are actually there as well. And it's just us. It's just the officials, the volunteers, the coaches, and the athlete themselves.
So the photographers were also cheering on the athletes. We were also
Can't cheer. We can't cheer. We have to stay like we have to be composed, stay as professionals.
you have the split second to take that shot, right? What happens if things don't go according to plan? Which sometimes it doesn't. You're running late, or you're lost in a new city, or something doesn't go to plan. Battery has run out, or something. I mean, have you had to deal with that, particularly at Tokyo?
Yes, I do have to. I think in terms of what we'll do is for photographers, we try to, as we go to bed at night, that's where we charge our battery, we back up our data, we just try our best to get the fundamentals right and to prepare. You know, there's a saying that it says that if you prepare to, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Yes. So we'll try our very best to prepare everything and allow time for chaos, allow space for last minute chaos. So I think the chaos I faced was in terms of shuttle bus that was late. I have been late to a location for either 30 minutes or 1 hour, but nothing more than that. But thank God sometimes they have delayed. So I was really happy about that, especially going to the badmintons. I know that, oh, there's one time's like, I know I'm gonna be 1 hour late. I'm doomed. But it's just a relief knowing that the matches it's delayed as well. So by the time I reach there, I have some window of time.
Ah, so there were delays. Okay, all right. So that's a lucky break. That's a lucky break, I tell you.
Really nice to know that some of the Malaysian who follows, some of them even wrote in DM me and message to say that, do you know I knew the match was delayed because of you, because you were relaxing or you were having dinner at when you were updating real time out, because at one point I was posting having a home cooked meal with the fellow medias at the stadium, and they were like, "Yep, it's confirmed it's delay because she Anis is having dinner now."
Yes, if she's not standing by to grab that shot, you know that event has been delayed. Can I ask you? I mean, I watched you on social media with your stories, and I saw you lugging, lenses really big and what looked to be really heavy lenses, dragging bags along. Is that just part of your life now? I mean, are you working out weightlifting, carrying lenses? It must have been physically demanding for you personally to be lugging such equipment around.
Yeah, it is. I think, I kind of laugh at one of the comment when they say that they felt like sports photography is a sports itself, that kind of thing. So there are lockers standby on the venue. So I think the lockers would only make sense that if you're there for quite a long while, because sometimes from venue to venue, jumping from venue to venue, like 1 hour or like the diving ones, I would just take my like take my I think my gears along. So the gears that I carry every single day is weight from 17 kg to 21 kg, because sometimes I do borrow lenses from the Canon professional service on the ground. So yes, it was 10 to 14 hours, or maybe sometimes even up to 16, 18 hours of work with bearing 17 to 21 kgs of loads of camera gears. And I think when it comes to this, you have to be smart, meaning that for me it's like prepping for the Olympics, I actually weighed the amount of gears I had or I'm about to anticipate to carry on with me, and I actually work out based on the load. So that I know it sounds crazy, but you have to be mentally prepared for that.
Wow. So you had to prepare yourself to carry that physical weight, because you know you're the whole day carrying it from event to event, from space to space. That is remarkable. I'm just wondering, you know, when you said that there weren't that many female sports photographers that you noticed at the Winter Olympics, and I'm just wondering why it's important that there are female photographers. Does it make a difference when it's a woman behind the lens? Does the perspective change? Do you think that being a woman behind the lens actually lends you a different perspective, particularly when you're covering sports, when you're covering professional athletes and the miracle of the human body, the athletic body?
Yeah, I think one thing I'm really happy to say that for this pandemic Olympic, which is the Tokyo 20, they still call it the Tokyo 2020, that's the thing, in the year of 2021, there's actually a lot of females I'm seeing. So I'm actually waiting for the data or to the data analysis to come out, because for this Olympic, a few of the female photographers that I knew, I got acquainted this trip, we actually say that I have seen like every corner I turn now, I actually see female photographers. So I would say that there is a growing number for this Olympic in particular, that I'm very happy that the Wired agency, the international agency, are hiring. So that's a plus point. And I think there's a saying as well, it says that would there be more women athlete visibility if there's more women photographers or women photojournalists, or even, I think it's not just photographers, I think women sports journalists, or even like yourself, women anchor reporting sports. So I think yes, because again, I don't disregard any of it, because I'm sure that my fellow like male counterparts, they came up with incredible photos over the years, on and on. I don't know how they do it, but they are great. But for female, I think we are sensible in a way, we are nurturing. And I do see that the photos that came out, this time, it feels like it feels more empowered. You can see the spirit of it. Like imagine a female sports photographer capturing a female weightlifter.
There is a different perspective. The female gaze, the male gaze is different. I could talk to you about the Olympics for another hour, but we're running out of time, and I do want to just ask you very quickly before we run out of time about that amazing photograph that made the cover of Time magazine, the April issue of this year. You were working with Malaysian contemporary artist Red Hong Yi, and this shot of the world map with, you know, matchsticks, thousands of matchsticks ablaze to represent climate change and the world on fire. Can you tell me how that was? I can't imagine, you know, you have one shot, one chance to capture, that shot. Tell us about how you captured that moment.
I think one thing I'm super grateful for, like, I think bringing Red Hong Yi's interpretation of like climate is everything, that which is the title of the Time magazine, into fruition, is that she herself, first of all, I think it was a ripple effect that she herself championed local talents, which is a total of 13 of us Malaysians, and we are all under 35. To execute this project. So in total, I would say that there's three photographers. So it's actually me and David Yao, my fellow photographers as well, and another behind the scenes photographer. So David Yao and I, we cover all angles in terms of like lower angle, mid angle, even I had a remote camera on interval timing running on the scalp folding. So
Wow, because you know that you only have one chance to capture that.
So we only have one chance. So what if we miss this? Then Hong Yi was like, well, we just have the team to go back for another 2 weeks. So it's like, yeah. So I think that one shot, it really, essentially when we after the shots, we edit it, we do our best, you know,
we give it to Times for the group of esteemed editors to process it. Initially, essentially, we thought they were going to pick a photo that it was burning. And end up, they actually picked the photos that at the start of the burning, which took about, less than 3 seconds, is where the hand, if you realize the magazine, the cover, is actually that peak of a moment where the four hands are actually burning on yes. the actual location that, yeah, if you realize like Australia, Brazil, the actual location that had been suffered from a bushfire is because the hands is actually reflects our consequences and our actions.
Wow, that's really, really quite wonderful. What a thoughtful, so much thought went behind that piece. And I loved that. It really moved me. When I saw the cover, it was so striking. It really moved me. And I wanted to congratulate you and the team, of course. But that capture, that moment was stunning. Anise, I could talk to you for another hour, as I just said. But we've run out of time. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. But I can almost guarantee you that this won't be the last time that we have you on the show, that we will be speaking to you more about your work and the accomplishment, the amazing accomplishments that you've achieved so far. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Melissa, for having me.
I'm Melissa Idris, and I will be back with you same time next week for another episode of The Futures Females. I'll see you then. Thank you so much for watching. Good night.